Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are talking about season 4, episode 1 of Shit's Creek, Dead Guy in Room 4. And of course, as always, I'm joined by someone who's just positively bedeviled with meetings, etc. Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
If only that were the case. If only I did have a life when we were actually busy at the moment.
To be fair, it is like, does the UK treat Christmas Eve as a holiday? Like,
no.
No, it's not.
At least
really.
Not my family. It's mostly, like, I think, like, mainland Europe thing. When we've had Christmases overseas, it's been like, oh, you celebrate more Christmas Eve than you do Christmas Day.
Yeah.
But me and my family, it's like Christmas Day. That's the one. Yeah.
Also, can I ask, when you walk into like your mom's house or like someone's house for a holiday party, what do people say to each other? Like, what is the phrase?
Merry Christmas.
Oh, you say Merry Christmas?
Is this the thing that like British people say Happy Christmas?
Yeah, do you not say Happy Christmas? Because now I'm sad.
We kind of say both. A bit of a mix. Like, but why is it such a thing?
I don't know. Ask the media why it's such a thing. I mean, obviously Harry Potter being like the biggest influence of like Happy Christmas, Harry. Happy Christmas, Ron. Like, it's very like, it's an iconic thing.
I think it's like, it makes sense to say Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It doesn't sense to say Happy Christmas and a Happy New Year. Like, that's a bit weird. So maybe if you're saying both of those, then that makes sense. But yeah, I think it's highly interchangeable.
Okay.
Sorry to disappoint you.
Disappointed. Anyway, we're recording on Christmas Eve, which is why we're talking so much about the holiday.
Yes.
By the time this comes out, the holidays are over, at least Christmas, if you celebrate, will have been
well
over.
Done for getting through it, everyone.
You did it. You suffered through your family time. Can I just say, I found this woman on Twitter, or not Twitter, excuse me, I don't go on that anymore, on TikTok. And she was like, and basically her whole thing was like triggering my MAGA family. And
I was like, I've been following her. She's incredible.
Yeah, yes. The one with about Jesus being an anchor baby sent mm-hmm. me. Sent me. I couldn't. It was so funny. So I don't know what her name is. If you know, tell me, Stuart. Although, Stuart, I will tell you, you have already messed up my Twitter or my Twitter. Why do I keep saying Twitter? My TikTok algorithm. Because you sent me these British people who have been visiting New York City that are called Huns. And now I keep getting their TikToks. And he's like, we're about to ride the subway for the first time. I'm so excited. It's just like Gossip Girl. And I'm like, if you ever think anyone from Gossip Girl rode the subway, like they're way too rich to ride the subway.
Yeah. What's really funny is like I think they even like do a reference to that, and then they even admit in one of the TikToks they've never seen.
Yeah, oh, he says that. Yeah, he's like, I've never seen it, but I've got my, and he had like a Starbucks drink, and they're like, so New York, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, I this is a subculture. Well, not even a subculture. It's become like a mainstream culture of like we've got these people that celebrate just the absolute kind of meme. Of their own lives of just like I watch Love Island, I like go on holiday to the same places, I talk a bit like this, and they're just going out there and they're kind of living their own fantasy, and I can't hate them, but I kind of do. It's like
play, like it's
yeah.
Yeah, they're going everywhere that is like chain and then some more chains. It's a lot. And I, you know, Stuart, I love a British accent. I just, especially like that Geordie accent is like my absolute favorite. Like the guy from Taskmaster with the no way. It's just the best. I don't make the rules. It's the best.
Yeah. These are really like kind of like East London, Essex, like these proper Essex accents. So this is like near Londonish.
It feels like the Jersey Shore of Britain, almost. Like,
absolutely.
That's what I picture, yeah.
Yeah. So the culture that's come about from this, of, like, kind of the spray tan, the blonde hair, it's very Essex.
The orange
And there was a show that we had over here called The Only Way is Essex, which was kind of like our Jersey Shore meets the hills.
Wasn't there a Geordie Shore? Kind of,
So yeah, we had Geordie Shore, and that's where, like, up north where Newcastle, where, like, the accent you like comes from, except very, very kind of like different. But yeah, the Only Way Is Essex was this weird kind of like semi-scripted reality show.
Okay.
And it just elevated all of these people that should not have been famous into fame. And now they are like full-blown celebrities over here. They're releasing biographies, and it's like, it's insanity.
Well, yeah, the Love Island people over there are famous, aren't they? Like Love Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get these people that, like, their entire life's ambition is to go on Love Island. Like, they would absolutely, I think, drop their entire family if it meant they could go on Love Island.
Kill me before I go on Love Island, please.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not something that I subscribe to, but I do like watching and laughing from a distance.
Now I just want, like, a, where's the beach? It's just a British accent. Where's the beach? Anyway, let's talk about Schitt's Creek, because that's probably what we should be doing here. We're starting season four. We got a new season. And yet, Stuart, we're only picking up the morning after the season three finale. So no time has passed.
Yeah. I feel like when I realized that we weren't actually jumping forward in time, I was kind of taken aback. I was like, oh, wait, we're literally that was yesterday?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. I like it, though, because I don't feel like we're missing anything. But also, a lot's happened in 48 hours, right?
A lot has changed. Yeah, a lot going on. I don't know. I don't think this is a hot take, but, like, my biggest takeaway from Schitt's Creek through three seasons so far, is that this show struggles a little bit with premieres, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they always know what to do with a premiere, whereas I think they absolutely knock finales out of the park. Like, they kill finales. But, like, I don't know. What did you think, like, broad strokes? Like, what did you think about the premiere for season four?
Yeah, I see what you mean, is that this felt kind of like, well, it doesn't live up to being a season opener, because, again, it's just the next day. So it just feels like a continuation, which I'm not unhappy about, because what we left off with was really good and set up a load of good stuff. But it didn't have that season two opener vibe of just like this real kind of milestone of like saying, okay, well, we're in a new season and we're going to get David back and we're going to have that kind of hilarity and stuff. Which is a tough one, because I want them to have that, but then equally, I don't want them to kind of just change everything up every season. I don't want them to have a dramatic departure from what we had. I liked it. I liked the last episode of last season. So more of that, I guess. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I see what you mean about there, it not living up to the kind of, oh, it's a season opener, oh, hype, 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 that kind of thing. If it's just the same thing.
I think it's because I love premieres and finales. And so I do think I put a lot of like stock or pressure on like those episodes to really like set up the season. But also this is a sitcom. So like, what are we actually setting up here? I don't know what it was. I just felt like there were other things we could have done with this episode, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me get into a little bit of a recap about what happened on this episode of Schitt's Creek. We pick up in the morning after the season three finale, and there's a dead guy in room four. Johnny and Stevie panic, not wanting the guests to find out. So instead of just telling the guests that a guest died in his sleep, which is not your fault or bad for the motel, you force them to attend a mandatory happy hour or be charged extra money. An accidental death might not tank your motel's reviews, but a mandatory happy hour sure will.
Yeah.
Terrible. Moira thinks she's at fault because she refused to give the dead man an anti-inflammatory the day before. Luckily, Patrick is here to talk her and David off a ledge with actual sound logic. Thank God he's here, truly.
Yeah.
Am I an accomplice? Like, David, stop.
Oh, it's awkward. I can't. I'm already over it.
Speaking of Patrick, David and Patrick are as cute as ever. There's a slight miscommunication when David asks to stay at his place so the motel room can be used for other guests. And Patrick thinks David is moving too quickly in their relationship, but it's cleared up very quickly and we can go back to shipping them. Nobody worry. They're not breaking up. Alexis helps Ted conduct interviews for her replacement at the vet, which truly I thought was very questionable on Ted's part. But she also finds out that the cat lady from last season, who was always asking Ted to wash her cat, they're now officially an item, which is a big fat yikes for Alexis because she obviously was there to ask Ted out. And that's our episode. That's our premiere.
So much happened. Like, already. Like, what the heck is going on? We've been, like, having, at times, a real kind of slow trudge through story and plot. And then, seemingly, in 2 days, they're like, right, we're going to do everything. Everything's going to occur. This episode, I thought, was really good to start off with. I thought that, like, each of the different, like, little subplots were, like, top tier. Obviously, David and Patrick's whole thing, I think, resonated most. It was adorable.
When they kissed the second time, I audibly just squeed because it's just so cute. I just can't handle, like, and maybe it's Stuart because the beginnings of relationships, I think, are often very romanticized, as they should be. The beginnings of relationships are really exciting. You're, like, getting to know the person. You're a little awkward. You're a little nervous. And you can feel that energy in the room with Patrick and David when they're at the store. They both, like, don't know how to act, but they're just, like, giddy with excitement. Like, it's so, so sweet. And yet again, Stuart, Patrick is just the sweetest, kindest, most adorable human of all time. And he's like, when we kissed for the first time, it felt like it was my first kiss. And I just wanted to die. He's so cute. And Stuart, you know me. I'm not a schmoopy, mushy person whatsoever. But like, Patrick is just so freaking adorable that I could just feel myself turning into a puddle.
Yeah. I think it's because he speaks so plainly. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think it's more like he speaks incredibly clearly as to what he is feeling. And it makes you just want to melt a bit because very rarely do we ever get that. And when he goes, all the things that you're supposed to feel, I felt them. Ah, buddy, he's expressing that he's like, oh, I got the butterflies, David. Oh, it's just, it's adorable. Disgustingly so. I love it.
It's really cute. And I like that, again, it's not even like drama in this new relationship. It's just a very slight miscommunication of like, David needs a place to crash for the night because he has to be out of the motel room. Patrick thinks he's like immediately trying to hop into bed with him. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is like very, very quickly for me. And they clear it up so fast on the show, which I appreciate because I mean, currently I'm watching Felicity over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. And there's one particular couple where it feels like the show needs to manufacture drama for them in order for like the audience to feel like bought in on them or to feel entertained by them. And instead what it does is it makes me resent them because they're just bickering constantly. And so I like where we have just the teeniest, tiniest miscommunication that gets cleared up very quickly. Like, cause it doesn't, I don't want to be like upset that this couple is fighting, you know? It's just so quickly brushed aside and moved past. And like, and even Stuart, when we have Moira coming into the store and like blabbering her mouth about like knowing Patrick and David are together and like not knowing Patrick's name, making him go get her a tea and a scone, like, he's an unbothered king, truly.
He really is. It's like, he seems so unflappable, which I think is so good. Like, he gets a little bit, like, you can tell that, like, when he is with David, he does have that kind of nervousness, but he's still not kind of like, I don't know. I think any other character would be like, oh, I'm so lovey-dovey. And I'm like, I'm dropping things or being clumsy at work kind of things. I'm thinking about my love. Like, he expresses that he kind of has the feelings and just cracks on and handles Moira like an absolute pro in that he kind of indulges her, but then kind of also kind of just gets on with it and doesn't really kind of let her bother him almost.
Yeah, there's one point when he says, here we go. I know I wasn't supposed to be listening to this conversation, but it's a small space and your voice carries so beautifully. Like, yeah. Again, instead of being like, you're being loud. Mm-hmm. Instead, he's like, oh, no, it's a small space and your voice carries beautifully. Like, how is he so good at this? How is he so good at this already? Like, how can he handle Moira better than he can handle most people? I would pay money to be as unflappable as Patrick is, because I am like the most flappable, whatever the opposite of I am flappable. I am all of the flaps, all of them. Like, I can't literally anyone says anything. And both it's written on my face what I'm feeling. And it's mm-hmm. just like immediate, like gut reaction happens. And I really can't help it. So I think that's why I appreciate Patrick so much. I know we talked a little bit in the past about how much I feel like my husband Will sometimes is like Patrick. He too is mostly an unbothered king. Like he is mostly unflappable. And I don't understand it. I truly don't. I wish. I wish I could.
I love that you ask, like, how he can deal with Moira so well and so quickly. He's dealing with David.
They're so very much the same.
They are really are, like, I mean, he's cut from the same cloth. Like, they are.
I mean, no further proof same. Needed than when she starts telling him about, like, I didn't give the anti-inflammatories to the man. And David's like, so what? Now I'm your accomplice? What's going to happen yeah. when I go to jail?
Exactly. The two of them, they just bat off each other and escalate things like more and more. They're the worst two people to have in a spiral of this whole thing. Yeah. I love as well, like Moira was on top form this episode for just being Moira. Like, she absolutely wanted none of the situation at the beginning. She was like, oh, I'm out all day, and just leaves Johnny to deal with it.
Listen, fantastic. Stuart, she's had a cornucopia of trauma, okay?
Exactly. Like... her and her alone. None of the others have experienced any hardships over the last year or so. And then she, like, just saunters off and then clearly does not have that much going on in the day, because she just happens to go to the store and, like, just happens to have time to go and talk
and
to David about her possibly murdering him.
Or something.
I mean, in fairness, she was really ripped off for a face cream like last week or something, wasn't it?
No, she paid way too much for a wedge of brie last week, so let's call it even.
Incredible. Horrible. But I think, like, clearly, the thing that elevated Moira above everything else is when she was kind of having a crisis. You know what she'd love? She'd love a tea. And so, hot marks. Give her the MVP already.
Yeah, I knew you'd love that. And then she asked for a scone too. Is that the other thing she asked for? Which, I don't know. I mean, we don't get into food too much on this podcast, but I do just need to say, scones are garbage.
Get the fuck out, Jessica.
They're dry. Like, what is the purpose of them?
You're meant to have them with wet things. So you're meant to have it with, like, clotted cream and with jam. In? No.
Wait, what? I thought you meant like with a coffee or a tea or something.
No, like, you have the scone, you chop it in half, and then, now here's the contentious issue, and I will kind of put on both clotted cream and jam on the scone.
What is clotted cream?
It's like, you can ask me something I don't know. It's like cream, thicker.
Like cream cheese?
No.
Like whipped cream?
More viscous. Ooh, but okay. Still has some holds to it. Yeah. I'm the worst person to describe this. I should really know.
Good.
Yeah.
How to make clotted cream. Cream into a baking dish. You bake it and then you chill it and then you separate the liquid and cream? What in the world?
It's fantastic.
Okay.
There's real, like, tribalism when you go to, like, is it Devon? Yeah, it's Devon and Cornwall over whether you put cream. He wouldn't say cream cheese. You've got me flustered now. I'm flapped.
You are flapped.
I need to be unflappable. You have clotted cream and jam, and they have, like, a tribalism over whether or not you put the jam on first or the cream on first. But ignoring all of that, the combination is fantastic, and it is the best accompaniment for a cup of tea. So I can appreciate why she would want a scone. what I can't appreciate is Patrick just getting the scone on itself.
That's what I'm saying. I've never had a scone where they've offered me jam and clotted cream with it. So I'm just having a dry ass biscuit. And who wants that? Not me. I don't like dry bread. Like, bleh, no thank you. I'm not even a really big toast girly. Like, if I'm going to eat toast, it needs to have, like, an egg on it or, like, jam and butter. But, like, dry-ass toast. I don't even like to toast my toast that much, toast my bread that much. Like, I put it on, like, the lightest setting.
I'm outraged. I'm, like... on, it's going to be like a deep golden toast. No. The quality of the bread really matters. You've got to have good butter as well. None of this margarine BS or
fake
butter. No. You've got to have, like a thick, well-toasted bread with like lashings of butter is one of just the best treats you can give yourself, especially if you're hungover. I'm outraged. Put an egg on it. Why is the American obsession with eggs? They're great. I love eggs. But there's a line.
Because what you do is you do like toad in a hole, or a lot of times, like if I'm a toad in a hole.
What? Explain what you mean by a toad in a hole.
So you take a piece of bread and you cut out the middle piece. And then you put it in the pan and you crack the egg into the hole of the bread.
A toad in a hole for us is sausages in like a batter.
I've heard of this before, but that's what I've heard of as a toad in a hole. But like, if I'm making a quick breakfast, I toast some bread real quick, throw some butter on it, do some like sunny side up, maybe like an over easy egg in a pan, and then put it on top of the toast, you know, like an open face situation, and then you eat it, and you can poke the yolk and make it all nice and ooey gooey.
I mean, I'm not against it, but like, don't sleep on toast. Toast is good.
I'd rather have eggs. Anyway.
Wow.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Okay, so we've talked through Patrick and David and how absolutely adorable they are. I don't even know how we got onto that spot, but it was a while of talking about food. Let's talk about Alexis and Ted, because Alexis goes to the vet with the intention of asking Ted if she can spend the night. And I think it's because in her mind, she's not working there anymore. So any reservations Ted had about them should be gone. I also think she was further bolstered by the fact that Ted showed up at her graduation. Like, I think in her mind, oh, he's upset, I quit. Then he shows up at her graduation and it's like, oh, he's not upset. In fact, he's like supporting me. This is so lovely. Now maybe I could stay at his place and a little something, little sleepover action. But unfortunately, that's not the case, because he is officially dating Cat Lady Heather.
Yeah, I felt bad for Alexis in this whole situation. Like, she's got the hots for him. Can't blame her, of course. But such an assumption, especially considering that she knew that he was kind of like fooling around with Heather. Like, make sure that, you know, the opening's there before you kind of like make your move. And you could tell that this kind of like hurt a little bit, and just awkward.
It's especially bad because even after he says he has a date, she's like, oh, well, maybe I could just like drop my stuff off. And he's like, oh, well, we may need the apartment at some point. She's like, oh, for sex. It's so awkward. It's awful. You feel horrible for her. But also, and this is going to sound really mean, but I'm just going to have to say it. Like, she did absolutely ruin his heart. Like, it's kind of a little bit of like karma. And I'm not saying he's doing it intentionally by any means.
No.
It's just more like general karma, you know, coming home to roost for her, I think. a little bit for how she treated Ted. Like, he's a nice guy. Why would you expect him to be single, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that there's an element of him pursuing the thing with Heather, knowing that, like, maybe something was kind of percolating with Alexis because he doesn't want to go there because he was hurt before? Like, because I kind of get the impression that maybe there's something that is in the back of his head. Like, I don't think that, like, there's certainly a chemistry there. Like, that kiss that they had was something that just came about. Like, it wasn't manifested or anything. That was instinctual because there's an attraction between the two of them. But I think that when Ted thinks about it, maybe he's pulling back and is leaning in elsewhere because he doesn't want to go down that route because he kind of fears it a bit.
But I could see that, and I could also see him being like, Alexis doesn't see that me that way. Like, she broke up with me. I can't just wait around for her, so I should just pursue other options. Like, he's done waiting for her to kind of realize, or maybe he's even like, I don't want to go down that road again. Like, I got really, really hurt, which we heard from, like, the old ladies at the seniors dance thing. Like, he was just devastated. So I don't know. It's just sad and awkward. And, like, I don't know. What did you think of Ted asking Alexis to sit in on these interviews?
We talk about how Patrick is able to deal with Moira so easily. I think Ted is that with Alexis. Like, he knows how to deal with her because ushering her out isn't going to be good because it's going to possibly upset her a little bit. Like, she won't show it. She's not the kind that would really make a scene. But, like, I think that he doesn't want to be the person to be like, oh, you're not wanted here and stuff. And I think also he sees wisdom in her that other people don't see. Like, this, I think, is one of the great things about their relationship, is that Ted sees the promise of Alexis. Like, yeah, she'll come with her headaches. Yeah, she's going to microdose while she's, like, attending to, like, all the appointments. She's going to set up a thing and try not to work. She's going to watch TV and everything. But he sees that, like, she can be very effective in very kind of specific ways. And so I think that maybe it comes from kind of dealing with her, but then also going, actually, she does have something to add here. And she clearly did. By the end of it, they came out and he was really happy that he invited her because he found out things that he never would have found out.
Yeah. I was going to say, I do think Alexis has a specific skill level in social interactions. She very much puts people at ease, which I do think could be helpful in an interview. You do want people to feel comfortable because you want to get to know the real person, not just what's on the resume. There's a reason you have an in-person interview. So I do think she can help in that way, but I think you're taking a massive risk inviting her into that room because she might say something like really bad that would turn away applicants. So I'm happy it turned out the way it did, but I do think it was a risk. I like equating Patrick handling Moira to Ted handling Alexis, because I do think there is something there. Like, almost as like all of these very flappable roses surround themselves with unflappable counterparts. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've got Patrick with David.
Yeah.
Ted with Alexis. We've got Stevie with Johnny now, which is kind of helping. And Moira, I still see as Johnny as being her kind of like minder, but it's kind of slowly becoming Jocelyn, maybe Ronnie.
I was like, just going to say Ronnie for the town council stuff. Yeah.
So they kind of need someone to ground them in reality, which is, again, it's like kind of them ingratiating themselves with the town. It's like, it's going to happen. And so these friendships are what kind of makes them more normal in a way.
Well, speaking of Stevie and Johnny, we have to talk about this because after the like season 3 wrap up, I was like, okay, season 4, new start for Johnny. Like, I'm ready. I'm ready to stand. I'm prepped to stand. But this is such a bad idea. Like, not that you necessarily want people to associate your motel with like dead people or anything. Like, I'm not saying make a massive announcement like, hey, we got a dead guy in room 4. But in my experience, most people aren't hanging around their motel room all day. Most of the guests probably won't be hanging out in their rooms when the coroner comes. So I think it's worse to trap them all in the lobby, make it mandatory, and then try to like make it fun. It's so awful, Stuart. As someone, if I was a person that was staying in that motel, I would be so desperately unhappy with my stay as compared to just leaving me alone. And it's like, oh, a dead guy died here. Oh, that's kind of sad. I feel bad for the business. I just don't. I feel like there were so many better options than the mandatory happy hour.
Yeah, but they did get cinnamon buns.
But and the vodka. Guy from the quarry didn't bring any rocks for the children.
Yeah. I mean, that was the extent of my optimism and kind of trying to give them a little bit of a free pass here. This was, I felt, like the biggest justification for any shit I've ever said about Johnny. This was awful.
Yeah.
Why the hell wouldn't you just say to everyone, there's a dead guy in room four?
Or
why is it this disastrous? That.
You could say we have a medical emergency in this room. Like, not even say it's they're dead. You know what I mean? Like, just, oh, we're going to need guests to be away from the motel for a few hours because we have a medical emergency. Like,
yeah,
there's just a better way to handle it than being like, everyone come into the lobby for cinnamon buns and vodka.
Yeah. It's just the worst. And Johnny, like, Johnny didn't even open with a good thing and then have it go to shit. Like, he opened the episode like a bit of an a-hole. Like, he woke Moira up by opening the curtains and was, like, doing this full-on dad thing of just, I'm up, so you should be up kind of thing. Get out of here with that attitude. That annoys the heck out of me. Not to mention, Stevie comes in and is, like, clearly rattled because she's just seen a dead body. And he's just like ragging on her, going, oh, this isn't the time for jokes, Stevie. Like, leave her the F alone, Johnny. If she wants to make a joke to cope with it, she'll make a joke to cope with it. You should be around going around right now and informing everyone of what's happened so that it doesn't become an issue later on. And then to also get outraged when Stevie has the audacity to talk to Roland to arrange for a coroner to turn up to, like, I don't know, get rid of the body. Like, how dare she? I don't care if anyone emails in. I don't care if you complain to me on social media. Johnny is the worst.
He handles this so poorly. And it's so frustrating because the very beginning of the episode, I'm actually on his side in terms of he's excited. The motel is full. Like, he wants to celebrate. He wants to be like joyful for a change. Mm-hmm. And just immediately he's met with bad news. Like, that sucks. That really sucks. But, yeah, but everything from that point.
He should have known because every time they've sold out the motel, someone's died.
Yeah. And he's like, well, and I do like David is just like, wait, did he get murdered? And it's like, no, he just died alone in his sleep. And he's like, that's worse.
Yeah. Why is it that that's more bone chilling?
Yeah, it's just not great. It's not great. I don't like this move. I think it's awkward. And I do think it very much leans into like cringe humor, which, take it or leave it, you know, like, it's not as bad as like a Scott's Tots type of situation for me, but it's not great. And like, the more cringy it gets, the like worse it gets. It was just not good. And I was so sad because all I wanted was for Johnny to start off the season strong. That's all I wanted for him. And we couldn't get that.
Yeah. I was watching this and I normally can deal with a good bit of cringe humor. Like, I love The Office. Scott's Tots, as much as it's unbearable at times, I still think it's one of the funniest episodes of The Office ever.
My husband loves that episode. Like, absolutely adore. He has a t-shirt that says Scott's Tots.
I mean, that explains so much of why he likes Johnny. Does it not?
Yeah, it does.
Because Johnny's bringing this energy. Because, yeah, as I was watching it, I even messaged you. I was like, this is Scott's Tots bad. Like, it's of that level for me. Because it was the slowest car crash. Because you knew exactly what was going on. I mean, they were having a conversation with a mother who was clearly struggling with a baby to try and, like, get it to go to sleep. And they're saying, oh, no, you must go to this mandated happy hour
with your crying child. Yeah.
Or we're going to charge you. What the hell?
That part is where it got way worse for me, is saying you're going to charge someone, you know, because I'm not paying money for this.
I feel like I'd be down on this were it to normally happen. But I think I'm more down on it because it's dragged Stevie down into this absolute cesspit of cringe.
Because she's going along with him because it's he's the business guy. Like he's the adult, if you will, you know, he's her dad, he's her uncle, whatever, you know. It's unfortunate.
It's not good. It's not good.
Yeah. Well. All right, let's get into some feedback before we ultimately have to give ratings that will be upsetting to some people. We got an email from Libby. This email may come too late for the next episode, but oh well. Stuart, I just want to say that given you're a David fan, though really, who doesn't love David? I'd been looking forward to your reactions throughout, given how much happens with this character. I'm sorry that you were spoiled for Patrick, but hopefully you see now why we got so excited. Can't wait for your coverage of season 4.
Yeah, I need a little bit spoiled. Like, I kind of knew nebulously that there was a character called Patrick. I didn't know the kind of intricate details. Mm-hmm. And I will call them intricate or intimate details even. I'm so excited to see where Patrick goes. Like, the fact that we've now got Patrick established, I think is the best thing, because coming in as an additional character and kind of having to kind of blend in, I think it's nice to have a season start with Patrick around and clearly being kind of a big character. I hope that Patrick does stick around. Mm-hmm. That's my only worry, is what if he doesn't? What if this is a blip and this is why you're all so excited for season 4? Because he's only here for this. I don't know.
We also got an email from Sophie. Hi, Jess and Stuart. I hope you are having a great Christmas. Here I am again, writing in to defend Johnny. Why do you make me do this? Oh, no, this is a bad episode.
So what a choice.
Yikes. Through my defense of Johnny, it may seem like I'm the biggest Johnny fan. I'm not really. I would probably have him only one spot higher than both of you on my character rankings. But still, I feel the need to defend him. Yes, he could be a bit of a goober, but it just makes me go, aw, Johnny, rather than, ugh, Johnny. I'm more charmed by Johnny's or Eugene Levy's bumblingness. Okay, that's fair. I will say, if not for Eugene Levy, I would really dislike Johnny, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Johnny is, down here. Eugene Levy's up here.
Yeah. I hope you're watching us on YouTube. Eugene Levy is...
Oh, yes. Very visual thing. Yeah. Eugene Levy drags Johnny up, but Johnny doesn't drag Eugene Levy down.
Yeah. My defense of Johnny now comes from giving him props for the success of the motel. In my opinion, he is responsible for the motel doing so well now and being fully booked for the first time ever.
Fair.
Yeah. I'm not discounting Stevie's role in running the motel, but she could be quite apathetic and doesn't seem to care at this point either way if the motel does well. I think it's only through Johnny's desire to succeed that the motel can finally start to thrive. Without Johnny pushing Stevie to care, I don't think she would. Now she has someone to care with her. Sure, he asks his family for favors to do work around the motel because he wants it to do well and sees it as a family business. I just wanted to give him his flowers, as I felt you guys really didn't seem to last episode. I'm just a champion of the underdog, and in this instance, I see Johnny as the underdog. That's fair. I think that's very fair to say, if not for Johnny pushing for the motel to succeed, it probably would just be doing the same as it was before, which is to say, not so great. Mm-hmm. They're fully booked for the first time. That's big.
It really is, because, I mean, when we turned up, it seemed like the Roses were the only people in that motel.
Yeah.
And so to now see it fully booked and thriving is a really good thing to see. And I will give Johnny his flowers there. It's just a shame that he is squandering it with cringe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If I were any of those motel guests, I would not be super pleased this episode. Mm. Also, to pile on more on Roland being the worst, not only did he check in super late, but he expected Johnny to wait for Jocelyn to check in just so they could play the grad night role-playing games, where he could have just checked in and told Johnny to go to graduation. He sucks. Thank you, Sophie. I agree.
No.
Heartedly.
D- disagree completely. Johnny's there to work that desk and work it he should. Even after he's given out the key, people still have need to be on getting their keys.
Would you do that if you were, okay, you're Roland, let's pretend, and your friend, Johnny, because they are kind of friends at this point, you wouldn't be like, yes, friend, missed your daughter's graduation so that me and my wife can go play kinky role-playing games in your motel when we have a house.
Yeah. I can't get over the initial hurdle of imagining myself to be Roland.
So fair, though.
That was hard. It's not Roland's responsibility to make sure that Johnny can go to his daughter's graduation. Do you know whose responsibility it is? Johnny's. And Johnny didn't even remember it. Johnny wasn't even aware that it was the day until Alexis reminded him. I'm drawing a line on that. Nah. Not happening.
So rude.
Sorry, everyone. Don't hate me.
Rude. love the podcast. Even when you make me write in defending Johnny. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Bezos, Sophie. Thank you so much, Sophie. And we also got an email from Amy. First off, I cannot imagine watching week to week. Every time I try to follow along, I end up binging the whole season. I'm on episode 10 currently of season 4. I also found this show during the pandemic, and it was everything I've needed. I've watched it several times since. When you started talking about the next thing to celebrate the next subscriber milestone, I immediately thought it has to be a lip sync to Simply the Best. I love listening to you break down each episode. Y'all truly are simply the best, Amy.
Being a fan of Drag Race, not averse to a lip sync. that song and the reason why our ranking is referred to what it is makes me curious as to what's coming up. Is it the song? Is that what that reference is? I don't know. Possibility. But get us to 200 and we'll see if it happens.
Exactly. Not waterboarding, possibly lip syncing.
I don't know. I'd prefer waterboarding than watching Johnny do this episode again. just going to say that.
Horrible. Horrible. Okay, well, let's get into our Simply the Best rankings, speaking of. Stuart, who was Simply the Best for you?
Okay. I don't think I can give it to anyone else but Patrick. Unflappable, bringer of tea, delightful, little button face. Oh, I love him.
Alexis was right. He is a button. So cute. I'm trying to think of, like, is there even anyone who's in competition with him? Like, Moira has a lot of really funny lines this episode. Yeah. I mean, like, literally one of the artwork behind me is her quote from this episode. I adore Patrick, because the other thing, Stuart, that I feel like I do want to mention about why, another reason why Patrick is so lovely, is like, he's kind of a straight man to David in a way.
Yeah.
But he holds his own and still in terms of comedy and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, usually the straight man isn't someone that you're like talking a ton about, adoring. And so it's really, really impressive that mm-hmm. he is so good, you know, in this role.
Yeah, he's not like a straight guy in the comedy kind of pairings in the sense of being boring and being the kind of like the gray wall as opposed to like kind of the brightly colored like absurdity of the other person. He has these little lines that are throwaway, which kind of just add to the kind of the richness, I guess, of Patrick's character. Like you mentioned about the way in which the voice carries so beautifully, like little touches like that. I just got the scone anyway. And the way in which he kind of sets up Moira to be Moira to the fullest.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, it's a great way of like supporting the other characters. I think that's why I think it's hitting so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an interesting character because he does feel like the straight man, and yet we're also obsessed with him. Okay, disgruntled pelican time. Who is the disgruntled pelican of the episode, Stuart.
Do you need to ask?
I know.
Do you really?
I don't even want to spend time on it. I just feel awful.
I realize it's becoming a bit of a thing, and I don't want it to be like, Stuart just hates Johnny. And I really, I was like you said, like a new season, new beginning for Johnny. Maybe he can kind of like kind of pick things back up. If we're only going a day later, maybe this justifies why Johnny is still being the Johnny that I was voting for last season. But this was an appalling opener for him. I really do hope he picks it up. But yeah, I have to give it to Johnny. What about you?
Yeah, same. Like, there's no one else who does anything as bad as what he does. Like, Stevie goes along with it, but she's not the one who just comes up with this plan. Like, it's just bad all around. And, like, I would love to give it to someone like Roland or something, but, like, the worst thing that he did was say the word body in front of a customer. Like, that's not even that bad. So I can't, in good conscience, give it to anybody but Johnny this episode. Unless we truly think Moira killed that man by not giving him an anti-inflammatory. I don't think is the case.
Well, this is the thing. Like, he was asking Moira as a fellow guest. Like, wasn't asking, like, didn't go to the desk and ask Moira
for a painkiller.
So, like, does the whole liability as someone who works at the hotel or the motel even, like, still carry? Probably not. So maybe Moira did kill him. Who knows? Do we even know what the guy died of?
No.
I think we do.
He died in his sleep, is what Stevie said.
Yeah, because we don't know if it was old age or not, because I don't think we got an answer to the, is he John old or old?
That was so mean. That was really harsh. Yeah.
Even when inquiring, honestly, Moira was on top of, like, with Stevie, do we know how this man came to expire? Yeah. This is so brilliant.
God. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, Johnny, it is. I feel bad, but here we are. So it's fine. Maybe he'll pick things up. Maybe he'll have a better episode later on at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. It is time now to tier rank the episode. No Moira Wiggs, unfortunately. That would have been a strong season opener, but, you know, we can't always have nice things. Dead guy in room 4. As per usual, we have our tiers. Hot shit at the top, followed by full bouquet. Love that journey for me. Ew, David, and shit out of luck. Stuart, do you have strong feelings on where this episode belongs on this tier list?
It's tough, because I feel like the first episode is the hardest one to rank because it sets the bar, really. Mm-hmm. And this was a good episode. Even, like, I've been dogged on the whole Johnny of it all. I still laughed at the whole Johnny situation. It was absurd. It was stupid. I loved the fact that it justified Roland putting on a German accent for no reason whatsoever. So I don't want to drag it down too much. But I am thinking of leaning towards lower than higher. Maybe an Ew, David. What do you think to that?
Ew, David.
I was going to suggest Ew, David. Like, that is where I think it should be. I was going to be like, oh, this is going to be awkward if he's, like, wanting to put it in, like, a higher tier. Mm-hmm. I just think there have been better episodes. Like, I do think if we're looking at above average or below average, Love That Journey for me is average. And I think it's below average. I think, like, the Johnny storyline isn't my favorite. It's a little bit too far on the cringe meter for me. I love the David and Patrick stuff. I don't think it's, like, revolutionary stuff. And the Ted and Alex stuff is fine. Like, it's fine. It's nothing to write home about. Moira has some funny lines, but, like, I just think it's a slightly below average episode. I think they've had stronger season openers, and I think they've had stronger episodes generally. Not, like, a strong start for this season, but, like, gosh, there's so many good episodes this season. I'm not afraid of, like, penalizing this one, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy for it to go where it is then. I think that makes sense. We've only got, like, we've only got an upwards trajectory.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much room for growth here. So,
I mean, there is room to go lower. I'm just going to put that out there. But there is. Hopefully we don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're gonna leave this one in Ew David, unfortunately. But you know what? It happens.
Ew David.
Sorry.
Sad times.
Also, if you want to see a visual of this tier list with one item on it right now, find us on YouTube. YouTube.com.
I pointed the wrong way.
I don't even know.
It's over there.
This way. Yeah, I did it. Okay.
Hey.
It's really hard. If just believe us. Okay. That is, we have now tier rated, tier ranked the episode. Anything else, Stuart? Anything we missed on the season one opener?
Distinct lack of Jocelyn. Very sad, of course. But yeah. Hopefully we can see everyone else and we can expand. Hopefully, I don't know, maybe next episode is going to be the next day after again and we're going to be treating this. Maybe we're only going to get, like, what, less than 2 weeks through this season.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Well, I am here to tell you the title of season 4, episode 2, which I'm going to want predictions from you on, is called Pregnancy Test.
Okay, I think this is going to be a whole bait and switch thing. This is going to be like they find one in a motel room and it's like, oh, it's a guest's one. They have to like somehow tell someone about it. I don't know. Because it can't be... I mean, it could be Johnny and Moira. Could be Ronan and Jocelyn. Could be Bob and Gwen. I'm trying to think of other couples. It's not going to be Alexis and Ted. Can't be David and Patrick. I don't know.
That is
not
how biology works. Yes, exactly. You are correct.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm skeptical, but I think I might be hopefully calling it right in that I think that it's going to be a motel guest. Okay. If not, scandal. I should have had that on my predictions.
Yeah, you didn't have anyone getting pregnant on your predictions list. No. So. Yeah, that'll be next week's episode. We'll find out if someone's pregnant, who's pregnant, what's going on season 4, episode 2.
Who's pregnant?
Anyway, yeah, find us at Talking Shit everywhere. On all social media platforms, on YouTube and the like. You can find me at the Jess Sterling. You can find Stuart at Stuart Drinks Tea, because we know he loves tea. And yeah, until next time, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.